John Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Vicki Barker. Conflagration in California.
California's largest wildfire explodes. The Park Fire, now so big, it's clearly seen on satellite. Over 175,000 acres burned. The fire has already destroyed well over 100 structures and forced thousands to flee.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti. The Summer Olympics formally opened in Paris last night with a star-studded procession along the River Seine. But plenty in the crowd didn't stick around for the famous lighting of the Olympic flame. As CBS's Wendy Gillette explains, their spirits were dampened.
The rain proved relentless for much of the hours-long opening ceremony. Robbie DeMarin from Richmond, Virginia, left with his wife and two daughters about an hour and a half after it started.
Are you disappointed?
Very.
A little, yeah.
But we're making the best of it. This is a family event. We're doing just fine. We'll be good.
Some spectators paid a couple $1,000s for tickets. That was the case for Lucretia McClenny and her friend from Alexandria, Virginia, who were hit with closed roads, a shutdown metro line, and barred entry after they arrived an hour late.
We have assigned seats.
But that didn't seem to matter on a day when not all went according to plan. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, Paris.
Meanwhile, train service in and out of Paris is being slowly restored after yesterday's acts of sabotage. After Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance aimed an apparent dig at Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris, suggesting people without children should have less say in the future of the country than those who do.
Harris's family weighed in. She has two stepchildren, Cole and Ella Emhoff, who refer to her as Mamala. Second gentleman Doug Emhoff's former wife responded to Vance, saying Harris has been a co-parent with Doug and I, and always present.
CBS's Robert Costa. Yesterday, Harris spoke to the family of Sonia Massey as the coroner confirms the Springfield, Illinois woman died from a single gunshot wound to the head after she was shot in her home by Deputy Sean Grayson responding to her 911 call about a possible prowler. CBS's Roxana Saberi has more.
New audio recordings from the Logan County, Illinois Sheriff's Office obtained by CBS News reveal Grayson was reprimanded in November 2022 for writing false information in his police report. State records show Grayson resigned in April 2023 and was hired by Sangamon County 3 days later. And defense officials tell CBS News that in 2016, Grayson was discharged for misconduct from the Army after he was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, one of two DUI charges on his record.
This is CBS News.
Switch to T-Mobile and save with tons of benefits on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. As Election Day draws closer, voters are paying more attention to a sweeping conservative plan to shape a possible second Trump administration. More from Roz Brown.
Project 2025 from the far-right Heritage Foundation includes standard conservative ideas such as slashing regulations, but also firing thousands of civil servants, dismantling the Department of Education, and giving more power to the states. David Nevins leads the Bridge Alliance, a network of organizations working to promote healthy self-governance. He's also co-publisher of The Fulcrum, where he's enlisted experts to share their thoughts on each of Project 2025's 30 sections.
The cross-partisan approach that we believe in some cases, the federal government can do certain things more effectively, in some cases, not as effectively. And that's the discussion we need to have as a nation.
Nevins believes many on the far right want to turn back the clock and erase societal changes that have occurred in the last 20 to 30 years. He says people can be afraid of change, especially when things are moving fast, but believes Project 2025 represents a lack of open-mindedness rather than seeking common ground to take democracy to its next level.
The reality of America is that we are a diverse country in terms of racial, ethnic, sexual preferences, religion. That is the reality. And if we're going to live into the pluralistic dream of our founding fathers and mothers, we have to learn to make that work.
While Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, Nearly two-thirds of the authors behind the plan served in his former administration. This is Roz Brown. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Foundation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy, 68 tonight. Slight chance of a thunderstorm for your Sunday with a high around 82. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low around 70, and a couple of thunderstorms possible on Monday. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend, we'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
July 27th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's hour two of This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown. That's me. And I'm joined by my producer, the mighty Max Martinson. We are coming to you live, local, and remote from the home base, the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown there, the WAUK studios, where Max is also hosting this week's guest, author Kristen Oakley. And I'm coming to you remotely from the Renaissance Hotel in, God, I can't even remember the town I'm in anymore, but it's the metro area of Minnesota here, not far from Lakeville, where the tournament, the NAFA softball tournament is taking place, and here supporting my daughter and her team as they are in a must-win situation. At 9:55, I'll be heading over there after this show, but we're glad everyone could join us. And for those of you just joining too, if you've ever missed an episode of This Week in Waukesha, I highly encourage you to check out the podcast page, because you can go and you can catch every show. And there's been quite a few, I think, of a real, well, historic, sure, but I think of a critical nature. A couple of the shows we've covered some, shall I say, bullying from downtown businesses towards one that forced a business in order to move. We had the vindicated alder and county legislator, former legislator Kathleen Cummings, talking about her 30-month ordeal overcoming charges of criminal charges of election fraud that she had successfully overcame, and just some other great guests and some other key topics. We've had other leaders on the show recently. Mayor Sean Riley is my guest next week to promote the Rotary Club's Jazz Festival. And so real great opportunities to catch up on what's going on in Waukesha and hope to tell your story on there too. We're always looking for new guests and people that have a story to tell. So I'm really glad, Kristen, you connected with us, I think, through Johnny Watermelon at the Wednesday, the Music by the River series that the city does.
Yes, we did.
So yeah, that's great. I know that's something. I guess the Riverside Rhythms, I think is the name of it.
Right. I've only been there the one time, but I plan on going back. It's a good event.
Our man Johnny Watermelon, one of the great community leaders for WAUK, is our man. He's manning that. And, Johnny's on the phone with the Farmer's Market Report. Let's get Johnny in here. We were just talking about him, too. Johnny, can you hear me? All the way from Minnesota.
Yeah, sure, Donnie. Hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. How's it looking there?
I'll tell you, what a beautiful day in downtown Waukesha. I'm at the farmer's market. You couldn't have dialed up a better day. There's just so much going on here. All the produce, the radishes, beets, carrots, jalapeno peppers, onions, and your favorite, Don, from the River Valley Ranch and Kitchens. All the fresh mushrooms are here, flowers, nice. Tomatoes. Oh, my God. It's just all the vendors are here. I mean, you get pottery. You can get breads. the farmer's market in Waukesha, Don, as you know, I'm a big enthusiast of this place. And, man, it's just a special thing for the community. So I would encourage everyone to come down to Waukesha and get to the farmer's market and get some great deals and some excellent food. So that's where we're at this morning.
And they should stop by your booth for any dog treats, right?
Yeah, so now that you mention it, I am manning the booth with David, and we have some dog treats and a couple other things for human treats, and you can register to win a great bicycle this morning, too. So
that's correct. Okay, that's still going on.
Farmers Market, and wanted to say hi to everybody, and back to you, Don.
All right, Johnny, we'll touch base with you at the, I believe it's the 8:35 mark, so we'll be catching up for an update there from the Waukesha Farmers Market on what I've been told is a beautiful Saturday there. I have my guest, Kristen Oakley, lives in downtown and is an author. Kristen, do you get over to the farmer's market much?
Yeah, it's right outside my back door. So I walked by them setting up. So on the way home, I will definitely be stopping by because I know there's corn on the cob right now and it's delicious.
Oh, that's right. It's about that time of year. Yeah. Especially the sweet corn. You know, and I've been a big advocate for developing more residential in downtown. Because now that the city, since the downtown area has been developed, there's so much going on for people in the terms of events. Our farmers market, I guess it's one of the biggest farmers markets in the state. And so there's so much things you can do without having to get in your car. And the farmers market's one of them every Saturday up until late October. So looking forward to hopefully catching up with those. It'll be difficult with me with a son now playing college football and some of the other obligations that we have, but I'm really glad that we've got a presence there as we've had the last couple of years. And I'm sure Johnny's a very familiar face to a lot of people there. So it's great to hear from Johnny. So, but here with author Kristen Oakley, and we were talking about your, we were talking about your one, how to publish and the success you've had and the learning lessons. And that really is the way to go for a lot of people looking to get published, given how hard it is to probably get in the door with these established publishers and maybe how little you get back in terms of earning potential.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a long haul. You've got to find an agent first. If you're writing a novel, if you're writing fiction, you have to find an agent. So you have to write query letters and then you have to send it to them or you have to pitch to them at a conference. And then once you find an agent, which could take years, agent then has to pitch the book to publishers. And that might take years. And then once the publisher actually gets it and signs the agreement, it takes on average 18 months for them to get it on the shelf. So it's a long, drawn-out process. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So for those of you who weren't around the first hour, Kristen's had some award-winning books, some thrillers, and then this recent series focuses on you called it teen dystopian,
young adult dystopian, right? Yeah,
young adult dystopian. Yeah. So very interesting theme, and the idea was the Devil Particle was an effort to build a more utopian society where you would minimize or try to eliminate evil altogether, and what would that look like in a futuristic society? Did I get that right?
You did. Yes, very good.
So now, is it geared towards a younger audience, or should anybody that reads it that likes dystopian novels or even I guess you could say science fiction?
It's all ages really, but I would say starting from about 14 or 15 on up.
Okay. Neat. So yeah, and I think it's good. Anything that encourages young people to read too, I think this would be a good, as long as they kind of maybe have a talk with the kids first, because I could see how that would that could be a real downer for some kids reading about futuristic societies that don't end well. And so just kind of pitching it as, you know, there's an entertainment value to it, and that, you know, yes, kind of a fear factor, a thriller kind of aspect to it, but it's also there's some learning lessons and some good takeaways for you.
There's some violence. It's not as gritty and violent as The Hunger Games, which is also geared to 12 to 18 year olds.
Right.
But the reason why I say maybe a little bit older, the 14, 15 year olds, there's more of the philosophical aspects. And, you know, some pseudo science stuff, which is thrown in, which is a lot of fun.
Sure. But
I think it appeals to everybody. I mean, it's fun. There's suspense thriller. There's a elevator you don't want to get in, you know, all of those, you know, there's an escape room. It's,
Okay.
Yeah, they have to get to the top of a 52-story skyscraper that's been abandoned. And they have to go through all these trials. There's about 9 trials that they have to get through. So,
interesting.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Sure. So, as I mentioned in the first hour, that the final Monday night movie in the park is this Monday, the 29th at Cutler Park, and it's Wonka. And you take a deeper dive. Like, we love the movie with Gene Wilder because of the musical aspect to it, but you take a deeper dive, and in future renditions of it, like there was the one with Johnny Depp and then this recent one that's out, is it fair to, because there is kind of a dark twisted side to that, is it fair to say there's a dystopian element to Wonka?
I would definitely say that. Yeah. Roald Dahl, who wrote the original book, a lot of his books had that kind dark element in them. And it's pretty, parts of it is really scary for kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can say the same thing about, old fairy tales and stuff. There's some really violent stuff, and kids don't process that the same way we do. There's definitely some of that in that movie. Yeah. So they're showing, is that the Gene Wilder one, or is that the more recent one?
I think it's the more recent one.
With Timothy Chalamet?
I believe so. Yeah. Yes, I believe that's the one they're showing.
I haven't seen that one.
We'll see. Yeah. So hey, go over to the park on Monday and check that out.
Yeah, we might have to do that. Yeah.
Terrific. So, and I guess, it's kind of a departure from dystopian, and especially in today's world. I think it's nice. The Olympics opened up last night, the Summer Olympics, and I always get choked up when I watch opening ceremonies because it's exciting for me to see the world coming together like that and people cheering each other on from different countries. And just the whole kind of community of Earth, like, really becoming one for like one single moment and watching each other compete in sports and taking as much of the politics as you can out of it. And I did want to call out some Wisconsin residents representing in the Olympics. One is actually representing his country of Canada, Mo Ahmed, a distance runner who's been there many, many times. He's a graduate of University of Wisconsin. There's Morgan McDonald also competing for her home country, his home country of Australia, and Ellie Hoare and Adam Spencer, all UW athletes. Sprinter Kenny Bednarik from Rice Lake is in the 100 and 200 meter races, and he won a silver medal in the last Olympics when that was in Tokyo in the off year following the COVID crisis. And then following the Olympics is Paralympics and wheelchair basketball. And I didn't realize this. Whitewater is the home of wheelchair basketball in the U.S., and it's the premier program that nurtures Olympian after Olympian. And so we know that we've got the head coach, Jake Williams, has 2 gold medals to his name already. And many of these Olympians who are themselves Wisconsin natives already have experiences at the Paralympics. There's John Boy from Milton, Nate Hins from Cedar Grove, Taylan Jordan of Deerfield. And on the women's side, you've got Becca Murray from Germantown and Emily Oberst of Milwaukee. Emily did not go to Whitewater, but the rest did. And many of them have Paralympic and national experience. So really looking forward to the Olympics, but also looking forward to learning more from Kristen Oakley, our guest, Waukesha resident, writer, and writing instructor. And we're going to talk more about the instruction side of Kristen's work and how she inspires and guides other aspiring writers here on This Week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday morning, July 27th, 2024. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app and take This Week in Waukesha and all the great Civic Media programming with you on the go.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Jazz up your week with the many opportunities to enjoy music at Cutler Park. Jazz at Cutler is featuring Marsha Daniel and her combo on Wednesday, July 24th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Les Paul Performance Center. Following on Thursday, July 25th at Les Paul Performance Center, Jazz Express is playing at 8 p.m. Stop by to tap your feet to the jazzy tunes from the big band era. It's great music and tons of fun for the summer. Jazz up the week at Cutler Park.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha, and that is Out of the Darkness by Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. Great jam from one of my favorite musicians. Any sopranos out there, if you remember Silvio, who was the Kappa or Tony Soprano, that actor was Steven Van Zandt, who was Little Steven, and first cut his teeth as Bruce Springsteen's guitarist on the E Street Band, so a storied career. And he's got a radio show, too, I think, that takes place on Sunday night, and it's kind of a really unique show, showing some kind of like good rock and roll that maybe doesn't get as much play. So, but huge Little Steven fan, and got some reminders here today. A special shout out to, and I know he's listening in spirit, Steve Prescott, a former business mentor and accomplished Chicago area restaurateur, who today would have been his 80th birthday. We unfortunately lost him to a terminal illness back in Christmas time, 1995, but he's always near and dear to my hearts. And, you know, speaking of food service successes, Tom Hockle of Spring City Wine and the new charcuterie house turned 60 today. Our very own Tom Hockle there on Main Street. Have you been to Spring City Wine or the charcuterie house yet, Kristen?
I've been to the charcuterie house. I've been there many times. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad that's there.
I am so excited by that, too.
I love charcuterie.
Me, too.
So, but you're going to love Spring City as well, because that's the thing. Tom's, you know, it's a very limited menu. It's a small kitchen at Spring City. So it's a lot of those. That's why he created the charcuterie houses, so he could buy from himself. And so a lot of those fares that you're checking out at charcuterie house, you'll see on the menu at Spring City, I would believe, interchangeably. So, but so yeah, definitely check out Spring City.
Yeah, I will.
And especially now they've got outdoor seating as well.
That's right.
On a beautiful summer night, it's great to sit out there, a couple glasses of wine, and maybe split a charcuterie board or some truffles. So wishing Tom well on his 60th birthday and hoping he's making time to have some fun. So my guest again here is Kristen Oakley. And, oh, yes, real quick, the Carol Minute. And thanks to Greg Triple G Wansnyder. Haven't heard from him in a while. I thought it was something I said. But thanks for this text, Triple G. Carol just released a theme for the upcoming school year. It's going to go with the theme of democracy and civility. So nice little tickler there from Greg Wansnyder. Pay attention to that. And I also wanted to mention, I know September is still a ways off, a full month away. September is National Suicide Awareness Month. And as many of you know, I'm a huge advocate for good mental health. And Carroll University offers free short-term counseling services program. It'll end August 22nd. It starts in May every year. But I wanted to shout that out again because no insurance or demonstrated financial need is required. It's intended to offer essential mental health services to the community, which I think is fantastic. As I say hello to future MLB star Jax Lindauer with his mom, Jenny, going to breakfast here, watching daughter sister Jaden pitch playing for the Suffragettes. Anyway, with the Carroll Minute, licensed psychologists and student clinicians supervised by licensed professionals in the field will deliver CCC services. And all aspects of the center are sponsored by Carroll School of Education and Human Services and staffed by faculty and trainees from the Behavioral Health Psychology Program. So check out the Carroll University website for more information. And everybody deserves good mental health. And there really is no normal out there, as author Christine Oakley, I'm sure, would attest to. And everybody could benefit from some good mental health. So be sure to check that out, and you can get more familiar with how good mental health care works. So But anyway, speaking of writer's health, Kristen, I remember looking at your bio that you also you do some teaching, some instructing, and you're involved with UW-Madison, but you're also, I believe you're involved in some local programs here. Can you tell us more about that?
So there's the Wisconsin Writers Association. I'm actually teaching a course on characterization in September. It's a Zoom course. And they actually, last year, they have a conference every year. And last year, it was in Waukesha. They had a two-day conference, and the first day was in Waukesha, and they did it throughout the whole town. So there were workshops at the Steaming Cup and People's Park.
No way.
Yeah,
how
it was
clever.
It was really something. And then the next day it was in Brookfield at the conference center down by the mall there. So
good use of that place, sure.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Writers Association, WWA, meets, has this conference annually, and this year it's going to be in La Crosse in October.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
I won't be able to attend this year, but it's a wonderful organization, and you should definitely check it out, Don. I know you want to write that book.
Yeah.
And it's a good opportunity.
Are you able to participate virtually in those conferences, Kristen?
I don't know if they do it virtually, but my workshop in September is virtual. So if you want to learn about character development and how to create the awesome characters, check that out. But you can look online, see what all programs they have. They've been around for a while.
Sure. What's the URL for Kristen Oakley to find out about what your books and your program offerings?
It's kristenoakley.net.
Easy enough.
Easy enough.
And that's KristinOakley.
Yes.
.net.
Yes.
And then what's the website for the Wisconsin Writers Association? The WWA, is that what they call it?
Yeah, they call it WWA. So I would just Google Wisconsin Writers Association. Yeah, there's also another organization.
How many members do they have?
I don't know, hundreds. I have no idea. The Chicago Writers Association, I was on the board of that for many years. And that's also a wonderful organization, too. And that's
do you still
not
belong?
Just for, I do, yes, yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter that you're now a Wisconsin.
You can be from all over the world for both of these organizations.
Okay. Good.
You don't have to necessarily be in Wisconsin or Chicago. Yeah, they're wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. What are the fees to join an association like that if you're an aspiring writer or an established writer or what?
I think they're $35 a year. That's it.
$35?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Wow. Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Good to know. And like I said, that's fantastic. That's very reasonable. So that's terrific. And so are you teaching any courses now as like an adjunct faculty member?
So for UW-Madison, I was adjunct. And it was for the Division of Continuing Studies. And they discontinued the program after 80 years. It was crushing to us.
After 80 years?
After 80 years, they discontinued it. So unfortunately, that's not around anymore. But then I do teach periodically. Like I said, next month I'll be teaching with WWA and different conferences and stuff. I like to do that. I like to spend most of my time writing. But I also really enjoy teaching a lot.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, some of the conversation we had about a lot of faculty members at universities are under pressure to publish, that can impact their ability to teach and to hone their craft as teachers because there's so much pressure for them to publish every couple of years,
right,
get their name out and get the university's name out. So, and I imagine for writers, there's that similar pressure. But well, we're going to continue this conversation with Kristen, and I'd love to get her take on with this emphasis in recent years we've had on STEM, if writing courses, English, the like, and reading, if that's been impacted, that part of the education has been impacted too much by that emphasis, or are people still finding opportunities and realizing the opportunities and the benefits economically and otherwise in careers in writing and communications. And and some more local news too coming up. And remember, my guest next week, Tyler Williams and Hector Carranza, say goodbye before they continue their football and educational careers at Carthage and Concordia, Minnesota, respectively. And then Mayor Sean Riley and his good friend Bob will be talking about the Waukesha Blues Festival coming up on the weekend of the 9th and the 10th. And so much more here in this week in Waukesha, WUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. The Shaw, don't forget to download.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News brief. The massive park fire in California continues to devour thousands of acres with multiple evacuation orders out.
This fire, now dangerously close to the town of Paradise, destroyed nearly 6 years ago. 85 people were killed.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti reporting. The first full day of competition at the Summer Games in Paris, with train service in and out of the capital starting to be restored after yesterday's sabotage.
The arrivals and departures boards inside are showing an hour or two delays on a lot of lines, but also many trains coming and going. So the start of a return towards something like normality.
The BBC's Andrew Harding. After Illinois woman Sonia Massey was shot dead by an officer responding to her 911 call about a possible prowler.
Rallies are planned here in Chicago and across the country over the next few days, calling for justice for Massey and other Black Americans killed by police.
CBS's Roxana Saberi, CBS News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another rough night for starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. He gave up two home runs in the first inning. By the end of the second, the Brewers were losing 5-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Brewers ended up losing the game at home 6-2. Manager Pat Murphy.
Freddy would like to have those pitches back. You know, it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're behind like that, you know, and he did some good things tonight. He didn't have his best stuff.
The two teams meet again tonight. NFL, Jordan Love has a new contract, a four-year deal worth $255 million, making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history, $155 million guaranteed, and Love will get a signing bonus of $75 million. So what's next?
Just reps. You know, you just got to get those reps, build that chemistry. Obviously, I've got a good amount of reps through OTAs, but it's different going into training camp. You know, just getting those reps with the guys and building that chemistry with everybody.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy, 68 tonight. Slight chance of a thunderstorm for your Sunday with a high around 82. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low around 70, and a couple of thunderstorms possible on Monday. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Get big savings on vinyl plank flooring at Menards. Legends Vinyl Plank from Great Lakes Flooring is durable, waterproof, and is a breeze to install. Legends Vinyl Plank Flooring is perfect for active lifestyles. Save big money on Great Lakes Flooring at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to dispel a credit myth. A NerdWallet survey found that more than 46% of Americans think that carrying a monthly balance on your credit card helps your credit score. This is so not true. Carrying a monthly balance on your credit card does not help your credit score. Here's what does. Number one, use credit cards. Number two, don't charge more than 30% of your credit limit in any given month. Number three, pay the card off on time and in full every month. That will help you get a good to great credit score. Carrying a small balance won't hurt your score if you're paying the minimum every month, but by carrying a balance, you're also going to be paying a lot in interest. And that is why this is a myth that credit card companies don't work too hard to dispel, because it makes them some money. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown. And the mighty Max Martinson, my producer, and my guest, author Kristen Oakley. And that was, of course, Tracy Chapman with Revolution. Just love that song. And is Johnny on the line from the farmer's market, Max? So our second report from Johnny Watermelon at the farmer's market. Johnny, take it away.
Hey, Don. Good morning, everybody. What
top of the morning.
What a beautiful day we have on tap down here. Man, we have got a small crowd gathering here for all these wonderful vendors. Artisan breads, mushrooms, all kinds of vegetables. You should see the radishes, the rhubarb, tomatoes, beets. Don, I'm telling you what, the produce is in, baby. This is really a great farmer's market. I encourage everybody to get down here and get something before it's all gone. And even have black currants here today. So I'm very excited about all these opportunities to have all this great stuff down at the Waukesha Farmer's Market in beautiful downtown Waukesha.
Hey, thanks so much, Johnny. The farmer's market's going on till 12. And I hope my father-in-law, Rick Zannon's listening. He makes his own wine, and he makes a wonderful rhubarb wine. And I did see the rhubarb when last time I was at the farmer's market, it was last Saturday, and it really looked wonderful. So, and of course, there's, you know, rhubarb pie and so many other great things you do with rhubarb. But I've had some delicious rhubarb wine courtesy of Rick Zannon. So I hope he's listening. What do you like to get when you're in the farmer's market, Kristen Oakley?
I was there last weekend. It was the corn.
That's right.
And then green beans. And then I have to avoid those curds, the cheese curds, because I'll just eat them all immediately.
Love it.
And bread. Some of the breads are wonderful. My son-in-law, nice. Who's a sous chef, likes to get his knives sharpened there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So he'll
really?
Take them over.
Okay.
Right.
Interesting. What, is he working at a restaurant currently?
Not currently. No, he's got a tech job now, but he was a
nice.
Sous chef for many years.
Okay. Well, good, good. So, and I'd be remiss, Farmer's Market, if I didn't call out my good friend, a fellow writer, Sarah, the author, Sarah J. Bradley. I read one of her books recently from her. The heroine in her books is named after Packer Max McGee, and these are Northwoods mysteries, and it's really fun. She's called the Menopausal Millionaire. Because of an inheritance from her former in-laws who didn't want their own son squandering the money so that she could take care of the five children and many grandchildren. It really is a fun read. If you like mysteries that also have an edge of like sarcasm and real good humor to that. So kudos to Sarah. And, I also want to shout out Patrick O'Donnell, especially like I got his name right. I've been calling him Patrick O'Connell, but Patrick O'Donnell, who has he's got a unique niche. And he's got a podcast called Cops and Writers. He's a retired Milwaukee policeman. And so a lot of his stories center around that genre of police work that there's obviously a big following for, much like there is for the dystopian themes that you're focusing in on, Kristen.
Right.
So are there other themes you want to chase or pursue or that kind of, should we say spark your interest?
Well, that's a good question. So I kind of do start a story based on a theme. This one was good versus evil and what would the world look like without evil. In Carpe Diem, Illinois, it was the unschooling, homeschool, philosophy. And then the second book in that series is God on Mayhem Street. And that was about gay rights. And how does it affect a family when you've kept that secret for so long? And particularly between brothers and all of that. So, I'm working on this series, which is really just one book over four. So still dealing with the evil and how are they going to conquer this and all of that. And then I do have a couple other in the Leo Townsend series. That's the first series that are coming up that I have some ideas. I do like to have some political slant in all of these, too, which is kind of fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Is it okay to ask if they're how does it lean politically? Is it in terms of a direction left, right, or center, or is it just more about just politics in general?
I think I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask my readers.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty center.
Good.
You know, it's
sure.
I think it's open to all ideas, and I like to basically what you want to do is you want to in a book you want to present both sides of the issue, and not really preach to people at all. People don't read books for that; they want it for entertainment.
Yeah.
So, but it also they're interested in getting the information, and so if you present both sides, my little town of Carpentier, Illinois, that's an unschooling town, has some weird quirks to it too.
Yeah,
it's not
it's
not perfect.
Big shout out to Jason Lindauer walking by along with his family.
They'll
be heading to Hey Jay, Kristen Oakley, writer, says hello. So I'm in a because I had a family preparing for a 9 o'clock 9:55 softball game, I had to find a spot here in the hotel to do my show. And the best spot here is it's kind of a split level. The second floor is the lobby. First floor is underneath, and there's a breakfast room. That's where many of the families are staying. And so I'm kind of the breakfast. You see people passing by on the way to the breakfast room. And it was a bit of an experience setting up here. For a while, I couldn't find my glasses when I went to the restroom. I thought someone had stolen them as I stepped away. And I went upstairs to the front desk. And the guy's like, dude, you're wearing them on your hat.
Don, I think
but you're a bit of a panic. I think
you're missing out today because we just had James Santel come by with his eclairs again, but you're not in the studio today, unfortunately.
Oh, Kristen can take an extra one home.
He brought one in to me.
Thank you, James Santel, whose show Amicus, a law reviewer, as I call Atticus. And for those of you who are new to civic media, James Santel's show was originally called Morning Cannolis. And as a tradition, he'd bring morning cannolis or other pastries, primarily from, Glorioso's on Brady Street. And they're delicious. And we're really grateful for that tradition that he continues, as well as the quality of the show and the expertise that he brings, not only to the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown as one of my chief counsels and chief advisors, but also to the civic media stratosphere. His show syndicates, it's broadcast statewide, and there's some really great takeaways on what's going on in the developing law. So very grateful for Jim's gift of friendship and his very generous sharing of talent, experience, and all the like. So
and eclairs.
Yes, thank you, Kristen. So now James in this discipline as a lawyer, or Alyssa Carlson in her discipline as an accomplished pediatrician with Children's Wisconsin. Big hello to her. Almost the whole Carlson family is here anyway. But there's a routine those guys follow in their day-to-day. They have to. What is your routine as a writer? Do you have one? Do you have a daily routine, a default diary, if you will?
Yeah, I don't.
That you follow to ensure?
Yeah.
Okay?
I don't. A lot of writers do when they say they have to write every day. Or I have deadlines, and that's what gets me to get the work done.
Okay.
So my day varies right now I'm waiting for some feedback from my editor on book 3. And while I'm waiting for that, because I'm a businesswoman, I'm doing marketing stuff. So I've been doing a lot of that. It is the 10th anniversary of Carpe Diem, Illinois. So I've got a new cover coming out. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Re-releasing that book with the new cover. And I'm real excited about that. And it should be coming out pretty soon.
What a great milestone.
Week. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Can't believe it. It went really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. This October, I'll be celebrating the 8th anniversary of my writing business when I hung my own shingle, and very proud of that effort. And as many know, my writing and communications have been blogs, broadcasting, some web content, online communities and the like, but want to have some books published like my friend Kristen here. And so I'm really grateful that we're getting to know each other and to learn more.
So what is your book idea?
I guess that's encouraging to me.
What are you working on? What are you thinking?
You know, should I?
Yes, you should.
There's a couple different ideas I have, but the one that's really piqued my interest is, without going too far into it, like 34 years ago, 30 years ago exactly, my grandmother, my Irish grandmother, had passed away. She lived to be 91, a great life and a wonderful legacy. And she was an immigrant from Ireland who... and so my father was first generation. Both his parents came from Ireland in the West, County Clare, who's this year's All Ireland hurling champions. Congratulations to them, up the banner. But I was raised not to ask my grandparents any questions about Ireland. My father was from that generation, very much like Don Draper of Mad Men, that wasn't really proud of his plebeian roots, if you will. And a lot of people in that especially the first generation of Americans, wanted to take on an American identity, and they shed their ethnic skin. And so while we were very devout Catholic, he went out of his way to not to be Irish. And he would always discourage any embracing of Irish heritage. And so as he got older, a lot of that changed, especially as he saw my developing passion for it. And my grandmother had helped fuel that for me. But long story short, when she passed away, I went to Ireland and learned that I had an uncle, my grandfather, my grandmother's husband's brother, who was a star in Gaelic football, one of the great sports in Irish athletics, the Gaelic athletics, as they say. And he was a hero there. And in my hometown of Buffalo, he'd won some championships, both for his village and for County Clare. And that was also around the time that the revolution, the war for independence from Great Britain had taken place. And he, as things started to get crazy, he'd gotten out and gotten a job in America, working in the grain elevators in Buffalo. And that's, he was killed in an accident there, a so-called accident. There are some people that theorize that he was murdered because of his involvement in the resistance movement or the fight for Irish independence, possibly even the Civil War that ensued afterwards. But there was just basically I unlocked a wealth of like great social history that I think makes a great concept for a book. So that's, I've been working on it for way too long, Kristen, like 20 years, but I it's something that I'm passionate about finishing to the end and seeing it through, and for my own peace of mind. But I do love writing about history. I love historic fictions, and I also love writing about Irish and Irish American history. Really passionate, and social history too. It's just like I'm a big Studs Terkel fan, and I believe every person you meet's got a book in them. Oh. Either that someone writes about them, or they write it. Or I do a lot of ghostwriting too, so I do have an interest in maybe helping other people find their voice. So I look forward to collaborating more with you on
excellent.
On this writing. So,
yeah.
But
so how far?
But yeah.
Along
so
are you
how do
book?
I how do I stop my 20 year itch, or how do I kind of put this thing to bed, Kristen?
You just how many pages? How many words is that? I mean, have you written it out?
You're
or
probably
it now.
It's probably close to 100 words, but it's just scattered. It's just really
just 100 words.
More words than that. Yeah,
I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of organization, like a chronology, there may be like the first two chapters, but in terms of little quotes I write in or notes or things like that, there's more. There's definitely, and I just need to organize it or see it through to the end.
Yeah. So, do you belong to a critique group at all? Writers critique group? No. Okay. So that's what helped me get
my.
Because that's what got me to get my first book done. Was because every month I had to have a chapter written, so they had something to critique. And so that discipline of having to get it done was, that's what I need. I need those outside goals and structure. But that would be one way to do it. Just join. And there's a lot of them in the Waukesha area, writers groups. You can check out at the library, but also go to the Wisconsin Writers Association. They'll have information there, too. But that would be my main suggestion. If you've been working out 20 years, you need somebody to kick you in the butt to get it going. And a critique group will do that for you.
Okay. Terrific. No, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. And as I mentioned, Dr. Alyssa Carlson had walked through. Her father-in-law, Touchdown Tony Carlson, a Waukesha resident and I guess was a hero in football. His nickname in high school was Touchdown. His wife, Janie, she is a second cousin, or Greg Bach from our civic media is her second cousin. And you got to check Greg on Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, as well as Matt and Air on Air from 10 to 12. Up North News is 6 to 8, but he's hilarious, and he grew up in Waukesha, and it's neat to know his extended family. Actually, I've known the Carlson family for many years, and it's great to have so many of them here cheering Amelia on, of this youngest generation, who is one of the star infielders and great hitter for the Suffragettes. More with Kristen Oakley here on This Week in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
With your host Don Brown and Mighty Max on the board, and that was my good friend Todd Rundgren and Utopia with One World. And speaking of Utopia, we have dystopian author Kristen Oakley here, but we also have Greg Triple G, Juan Schneider, who has been patiently waiting. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Don. Hi, Kristen.
So great. So great to hear your voice. I hadn't heard from you in so long. I thought I'd said something to upset you, Greg. But what's on your mind? What, you have a question for Kristen?
I actually do. So, awesome. Kristen, I'm one of those writers that that needs a little kick in the pants, kick in the butt, whatever you want to say, because I have a book idea writing about the wisdom of Waukesha and just interviewing people. The thing is, there seems to, I've been to some of these writing groups and they, you know, seem to be focused on nonfiction writing or on fiction writing rather. My book would be more nonfiction. I mean, I'm also thinking about possibly writing, you know, some fiction, but I'm wondering what, if you have any tips specifically for writing nonfiction, Kristen, because that's a different animal than writing fiction.
That's a great question, Greg. And I will say this, I came close to, there was a special offer from a publisher out of Texas that I gave her like the first 30 pages in an outline, and they called back and they were interested, but they wanted to know if it was going to be fiction or nonfiction. And I chose fiction because well, there's certain family members that would rather me not talk about my family. And, so I don't want them having to sign off before I get anything published, but I do understand that the nonfiction or the biographical, tends to be selling better than the fiction. Is that true, Kristen? And what else do you have to say in response to Greg's question?
Yeah, it depends upon the book. It just depends. So in answer to your question, Greg, there are, through the Wisconsin Writers Association, there are critique groups, and I think there are some that do focus on nonfiction. Don't quote me on that. My good friend Lori Shear, who ran the Writers Institute in Madison, is running those programs, and she specializes in nonfiction, memoir, that kind of thing. So that's one aspect. But it's as you know, it's a totally different animal. So if you decide to go traditional, what you do is basically what Don said, is you have to get together a whole book proposal. So what you want to do is organize the book in a certain way. It sounds awesome. The stories about Waukesha. I don't know how, do you have 20, 10, how many stories, different people?
I started out as a columnist. I was a journalist for a couple of different Waukesha publications, the Waukesha Patch and Waukesha Freeman. So I've got a lot of stories that I've written, you know, about people. Plus there are people, you know, like just that, you know, like not just veterans in the military nature, but veterans who have lived in the city a long time who are much more knowledgeable and wiser about the city than I will ever be, who I would like to interview. Mayors and
you know, former mayors and things like that. And who knows, maybe even Don, you know, might have. I think, Don, you would have a lot of wisdom to share in the book. So
thank you.
So, yeah. But
yeah. So what I guess what I would do is write up a proposal. You can look online on how to do that. It sounds like it'd be really easy, but I did do a nonfiction project, and it took was 30-40 pages, just the proposal itself. But I would put something like that together, and I would approach like University of Wisconsin Press, or I don't know if Carroll University has a press, but some local presses that would be interested in the local flavor that you're talking about. And it basically, if you go through University of Wisconsin Press, you don't have to have an agent to approach them. And because it's nonfiction, you wouldn't need an agent anyway, but there's a better chance of them backing you, and then they could give you maybe some support monetarily as far as doing all these interviews and everything else. But I guess I would start there with a proposal. Yeah. And look into WWA, see what kind of programs they have that might also help you. And you might actually find nonfiction groups through them as well that could, you know, critique groups that might help. Yeah.
And Greg, if you're really ambitious, I just had an idea. Since you work at Carroll and you're pretty well connected with a lot of the brass there, that maybe you could reach out to Tim Sullivan, the dean of the new business school there, and he's generously funded $10 million of that $100 million project. And he also recently bought Five Diamonds for his other alma mater, Catholic Memorial. That maybe as part of the business school, they could have they could establish a Carroll University Press. That's
Ooh,
well-funded.
I like that idea. Really, push that idea. Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, we throw in writing his biography, you know, to kind of sweeten the deal, you know. So Definitely. I leave it to you, Greg. Right. You're the man. You're our guy inside
Carroll
there at
University
Carroll U.
So. Yes, I like the sound of that.
I do, too.
Thanks, Don. And
hey, thanks for the call, Greg. Everybody. And let's cup. I owe you a coffee, so we'll catch up soon here. So, Kristen Oakley, in the final 2 minutes, what would you like to tell listeners, people of Waukesha, about Kristen Oakley that we haven't covered yet, and about writing in your books?
Well, you check out my books, of course, you know, KristenOakley.net. And I, you know, really appreciate Waukesha. I'm happy to be here. I have considered doing what Sarah's doing at the farmer's market, where she's got her booth set up with books. But as far as writers are concerned, and Don in particular, just finish the book. That's my main advice. You got an idea, write the book and finish it. Don't go over and over and over the first couple chapters. You won't know how it starts until you finish it, which sounds really weird, but you may change the beginning based on the ending.
Is it like a movie where you could like do the ending scene, like you're filming it at the end, but the rest of the scenes haven't been done? Can you do that?
You can
jump around the book?
You could definitely write out of order. I'm not one of those writers that can do that.
Sure.
I do write in order, but then I tend to rearrange the chapters after it's written. But the main thing is just to get the book done. And you can do it.
Okay.
People have done it. It's hard. I know it's hard. But once you get it done, it's this amazing thing. So come on, Don, you can do it.
Sounds great. Thank you. Writer, instructor, Waukesha resident, Kristen J. Oakley, and her dystopian theme books, including the Devil Particle. And thanks to Max for broadcasting. Again, my guests next week are Hector Carranza and Tyler Thrill Williams, graduates of Waukesha South football on their way to their respective college programs. Mayor Sean Riley and his friend Bob talking the Rotary Club's Waukesha County Blues Festival coming up. And so much more. Stick around for James Santel and Atticus, a law review. Thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you
so
much.
Mahagav Golair. Thank you, Kristen Oakley. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and so is good mental health. Enjoy your Saturday, and see ya!
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.